I have something to show you. Something important, said TJ. This is seriously great, like Christmas miracle great. He held both hands up. So a few days ago, I was walking to Jo Bell's house to join her on the walk to school. I tensed up, but Jo Bell squeezed me. TJ went on. This guy comes up to me, checks to see if anyone else is around, and then holds his left hand up the way Wright did that day.
He put his own hand up in a clenched fist,
the way I'd held it in that video that had gone all over the internet. Anyway, the guy says, Travis Jones, you're friends with Daniel Wright. Like that. He wasn't asking a question. It was like he knew. What did you say? Herbakowitz sounded worried. What do you think I said? I figured he was a federal agent. I said I had known Wright in school, but I hadn't seen him in months and heard he was dead. The guy was real quiet when he spoke again. He handed over this old-as-hell iPod Nano and said there was a message for Daniel Wright on it. TJ pulled the red iPod out of his pocket.
You brought that thing here? Kemp said.
You idiot! Sweeney jumped to his feet. That guy could have been CIA. The iPod probably has a tracking device on it. It's a good bet the Fed knows where we are.
Whoa, guys, calm down, said Jo Bell. It's not tracking us. Hear him out.
Of course she tells us not to worry about the Fed finding us, said Sparrow. Herbakowitz reached for the iPod.
How do you know if...
TJ pulled it away from him. He plugged a little speaker into the device and tapped play. We all gathered around as a tiny video of Governor Montaigne came onto the screen.
Is this current? Kemp asked. Is the governor alive?
Quiet, Herbakowitz said with some of his old authority. We need to hear this.
Montaigne nodded into the camera. He pointed out the date on an actual paper copy of a newspaper, the Idaho Statesman.
Today is December 15th. This message is for Private Daniel Wright of the Idaho Army National Guard.
I grinned at hearing my name and rank again. After a few weeks in the dungeon, we had all mostly dropped the rank and protocol thing. The governor put the newspaper down.
Private Wright, if my operative has succeeded and you are now watching this video, then let me say, I'm glad you are still alive and free. Be assured that the same is true for me, General McNabb, and the majority of the Idaho National Guard and the Idaho State Militia. The federal government thinks it can keep us helpless, uninformed, and out of touch because it shut down Idaho's internet and electricity. But the Fed is wrong, as I hope to prove by sending you this message. I'm working with a resistance group called the Brotherhood to distribute similar devices throughout occupied northern Idaho to patriots just like you, who are hiding in the dark and looking for hope.
What's the Brotherhood? Luchin asked. Probably just some code name. Now shut up, we need to hear this, said Herbakowitz.
Take heart. You are not alone, and help is on the way. Private Wright, I want to send you this personal message, because from the very beginning, for better or worse, you've been at the center of this struggle. Time and time again, you've proved your loyalty to Idaho, and many have come to see you as an example of the strength and resilience of our people. That's why I'm asking you to listen to a very important radio announcement that I'll be making soon. I know this situation is tough, but hang in there. Idaho isn't beaten, and we need you.
He smiled, and the video froze.
That's it? Said Crocker. How are we supposed to listen to his radio message if he didn't give us the frequency?
His operative did, said TJ. I guess they didn't want to leave the frequency in the message in case the Fed captured the iPod. Maybe if the Fed knew about the broadcast in advance, they could jam it. I don't know. But the man told me to listen to AM 1040 at noon on Christmas Eve.
You're sure? I said.
Yeah, I'm sure. He made me repeat it 3 times. Herbakowitz stretched his injured leg, then stood up straight.
Specialist Crocker, get on the radio and make sure we can pick up that station. It might not come in so good down here, and you might have to rig some kind of field expedient antenna.
The old grouchy First Sergeant sound was back in his voice.
Yes, First Sergeant, Crocker said.
Herbakowitz put his hands on his hips.
Private Luchin, how's your ass? It's pretty sexy, First Sergeant.
The old man held back his smile.
No, damn it. I mean, can you move if you have to?
Luchin stood up with Sparrow's help.
Let me stretch out a little, First Sergeant. Then I think I'm ready to go.
Great. Get yourself stretched out and dressed. Then assist Crocker if he needs help with the radio. After that, let's make sure our weapons are cleaned and ready to go. We're still in the army, people. We want to be prepared for whatever the governor asks of us.
Yes, First Sergeant,
I shouted with the others, happy to be back in action.
Finally, we all gathered around the table in the kitchen area. After we had gotten the damned sticky hatch open, Specialist Crocker had risked a trip up into the shop, where he had found enough copper wire to run a big loop antenna all the way up the stairs to the top of the closet. Now he stood by the old boombox-style radio, smiling.
I don't get it, Luchin said to him. What are you so happy about? I don't hear nothing.
Exactly, said Crocker. You don't hear any static. It's completely quiet. Someone's broadcasting on this frequency, but they're broadcasting dead air.
At 12:02 p.m., I started to doubt if the governor was going to pull this off. Finally, there was a crackle of static and a popping sound.
People of Idaho, stand by for an important announcement from your capital in Boise. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Miss Kayla Foster.
Who? Becca said.
Shh, said Joe Bell. Some somber piano notes played, and then a sweet voice began to sing.
The music ended, and a little shiver ran through me, the kind I used to get when the national anthem played before our football games or a rodeo.
That's not the old Idaho State song, Becca said. I learned it for a 4-H project once. This is completely new.
The governor's voice came over the radio.
People of Idaho, I am James P. Montaigne. I bring you greetings this Christmas season, a time traditionally dedicated to peace and hope. While the government of the United States will not at present allow Idaho any peace, at this time I offer you all a message of hope. Despite the United States federal government's best efforts, southern Idaho remains free of the U.S. military. Northern Idaho faces a harsh occupation, but even now, the resistance is building, and the time will come when the military forces of the United States are sent back where they came from. My people, Idaho survives. Freedom survives. Months ago, suspecting that the federal government of the United States was preparing to invade Idaho, I worked in cooperation with the military leadership of the Idaho National Guard to prepare a plan to seize control of Mountain Home Air Force Base and its military assets. Thanks to the excellent preparation and professionalism of Idaho Guard forces and to carefully placed allies inside the base, Mountain Home was taken with minimal loss of life the moment the United States military invaded Idaho. In addition to the Idaho National Guard's A-10 ground attack airplanes and its advanced Apache attack helicopters, our skies are now protected by 3 squadrons of F-A-35 jets, nearly 100 of the world's most advanced fighters. On the ground, southern Idaho is protected by Idaho Guard and militia forces. Infantry soldiers and combat engineers are working with artillery and armored units. Idaho has the advantage of fighting to defend our home on rugged terrain that is familiar to us. but a difficult challenge for a large portion of the federal military. In the dangerous chaos following the federal attack, Idaho forces rallied at the Battle of Whitebird. In and around that tiny mountain valley town, we made our stand and held our ground, stopping the federal advance and securing our freedom. Since some of Idaho's electricity is produced out of state, President Griffith was able to order a significant blackout across much of Idaho. However, emergency electrical generators were employed to maintain power to military outposts, hospitals, and other critical installations. Idaho's electrical grid is being rerouted and restored, and in the future, we will rely more on our natural gas resources as well as on solar power. In time, we will even establish our own computer network so that internet feeds to our comm pads and screens can be restored. Despite President Griffith's and the federal government's best efforts, we will have the freedom to communicate and once again live our lives as we wish. Protecting our freedom has been our only goal since this crisis began. We would not accept the unconstitutional invasion of our privacy when the federal government tried to force us all to use their trackable federal identification cards. We would not allow the federal government to arrest Idaho Army National Guard soldiers who had committed no crime. To stop this government overreach, to stop these violations of our rights, we join together to use the minimal force required to enforce Idaho's Constitution, preventing all armed federal agents and military personnel from entering the state. We then worked in good faith with the federal government, doing all we could to seek a peaceful resolution to our disagreements. President Laura Griffith's brutal attack on Idaho has not been without cost. Our infrastructure has been damaged. Many of our soldiers have been killed. Many of our civilians are dead. Many survivors, already endangered by the harsh federal blockade of food and other supplies, are now forced to live with no electricity or information from the outside world, save for false propaganda from the Griffith administration. In all of my years of public life, I have always done what I thought was best for the state of Idaho. I loved the United States of America as well. But now, President Laura Griffith has designated Idaho a rebel state. This has given the Idaho State Legislature and myself no choice but to declare our home to be the fully independent Republic of Idaho. We hereby dissolve all formal ties with the United States of America and establish our own representative democracy, maintaining the borders and all 44 counties that our state held before the United States invaded. Yesterday, solid majorities from our 35 counties that are fully or partially free of United States occupying forces voted to elect me interim president of the Republic of Idaho. We look forward to the day when all of Idaho is free to hold another election for our first president to serve under the terms of our new constitution. To that end, we will, for the time being, continue to abide by the Idaho State Constitution with only a few emergency amendments. The people from our 35 free counties have voted to allow their representatives in the state legislature to begin drafting a new constitution, subject to ratification by all our counties. This constitution will ensure our freedom and way of life for generations to come. And now, I want to speak directly to those of you huddled in the dark, suffering under the tyranny of the so-called United States Federal Idaho Reconstruction Authority. My message to you is this. Hold on. Stay the course. You are not alone, and you are most certainly not forgotten. Help is on the way. And I have a Christmas present for you. Because the scientists and engineers at Idaho Electronics helped develop many of the control and communication systems for military-grade drone aircraft, they were able to devise a number of countermeasures against the federal drones. The Republic of Idaho has already seized control of many of these drones, forcing them to crash, landing them safely in Idaho, or, in some cases, even using them against the U.S. military. With this technological threat neutralized, it is the hope of all the citizens of Idaho that you will have more freedom of movement. It is our hope that you will double your efforts to fight back. That is my message to all of my fellow citizens of the Republic of Idaho. Fight back. Fight back against a military intent on destroying you. Fight back against the United States' intent to enslave you. The struggle ahead will be difficult. Freedom is neither painlessly won nor easily maintained. That is why I am currently invoking Article 14, Section 1 of the current Idaho State Constitution, in which the original authors of that document wrote, quote, "All able-bodied male persons, residents of this state, between the ages of 18 and 45 years, shall be enrolled in the militia, and perform such military duty as may be required by law," end quote. The clause continues, quote, "But no person having conscientious scruples against bearing arms shall be compelled to perform such duty in time of peace," end quote. We, unfortunately, are not in a time of peace, but in a time of dire war. And so all able-bodied Idaho men will be required to serve the Idaho military in some capacity. Conscientious objectors have the option to serve in non-combat roles. Additionally, though I will follow the law as it was written, I would ask able-bodied women to volunteer to join our forces as well. We need you. We need all patriotic Idahoans in the coming fight. This Christmas, we celebrate the birth of our Savior, and we also celebrate the birth of our new nation, asking for God's help in our struggle to be free. May God bless all of you and the Republic of Idaho.